This ASAP podcast is brought to you by Spec Athletic, the synthetic sports surfacing company, developing flooring for facilities where athletes work out, train, and compete. Spec Athletic, the flooring professionals with Regapol America technology. Check them out at specathletic.com. This is Ed Sicali with Athletic Strength and Power Podcasts. Down in Knoxville, Tennessee today, at the 34th annual strength and conditioning clinic here at the University of Tennessee. The Tennessee Vols are putting it on. I'm with one of the featured speakers here, Coach Daryl Bauer. He's from West Virginia University, and he's with the Mountaineers. Coach, thanks for joining us today with us ASAP podcast.
Absolutely, Ed.
First of all, how long did it take you to get here from Morgantown?
Just under 7 hours down through the mountains. Go from the, you know, down through the southern part of the state into Virginia for a minute, and then down into the Smokies here.
Yeah, now, of course, Ted and I, we've seen you in Morgantown and been there to witness all the training and also the pizza. What about that pizza? that pizza shop, and it's one of my favorite. That's got to be a stop every time I head to Morgantown.
Best pizza in the mountains there, man.
Chipotle
barbecued meat lover's pizza, Mountain State Brewing Company, yep.
Cooked in that giant inferno furnace they got in there. Coach, welcome to the podcast, and if you could, tell us what propelled you into the strength training career and what landed you at West Virginia.
Well, growing up, it was always my dad always pushed me, physically, mentally, whether it was football, whether it was wrestling and track, and it was, I just always loved that, the struggle of training and seeing the results of hard work. And then once I realized that strength and conditioning was actually a profession when I was about 16, watching Coach Gittleson at the University of Michigan summer camps, I kind of decided right there that that was what my path was going to be. So I'm fortunate that I knew early on what I wanted to do. Then I went and I played college football at Hillsdale College, which is a Division II school in southern Michigan. I learned a lot there, and I was constantly studying and trying to learn and trying to become certified. But I knew I needed some experience, so during the summers, I would come back, and I got my head football coach at Chelsea, Brad Bush, had recommended me to Mike Sershon at Eastern Michigan, because where I grew up was about 15, 20 minutes from Ypsilanti. Mm-hmm. So I would, in the summers, I would intern for Coach Sershon at Eastern Michigan, but I was only, 19, 20 years old, but I was, helping him coach his guys, but he told them all that I was 25 or 26, so I got some really great experience at a young age. Coaching, so I would train those guys all day, and then once they all left, then I would train for my college football team, and then from there, I also worked with Jim Kilbasso at Total Performance up in Wixom, Michigan, and got some great learning experience there, and then Coach Sershon made a phone call to Coach Joseph down in Morgantown when he first got the job. It's almost 10 years ago now. Coach Mike Joseph called me and said, I'd like to do a phone interview in a couple days, and I said, what are you doing tomorrow? I'll drive down and meet you in person. And so I drove down 6 hours to Morgantown, and best 6 hours I've ever driven, because I've been there ever since. So I came in he hired me as a GA, and then I've been there almost 8.5 going on 9 years, and I'm assistant director now. So I've been extremely fortunate to be at the same place for that long, and seen, learned a ton and learned an immense amount from Mike Joseph and a lot of the other assistant strength coaches we had there and football coaches that have came through. And, we've got a great program. We're really proud of it.
Coach, when you look at the calendar, there's 365 days on there. Only about 12, maybe 13 of those days. Those are the big days for you guys. And that's when 60, 70,000 or more show up to see what you guys are up to. The rest of those days, though, those 300 some other days, it's a grind. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it. What's it like?
The game day mindset, the game day mentality, we want our players to show up for the game and know that they're prepared and not wait until game day to juice them up and hype them up and say, oh, let's turn it on now. We want their training to be so competitive and grueling throughout that, and obviously smart and intelligent at the same time, so that they know that they're game ready. Back in June, and then July, we're just getting them prepared, tactically to go to camp. I think that people talk about the grind. I mean, it's true. I mean, it's probably an overused term, but it's just what they need to do to get them prepared so that they have true, genuine confidence when it comes season. They know that they're not just physically prepared, but mentally prepared for whatever is going to throw at them. Because there's going to be tough times during the season, regardless. And those people that are resilient mentally and physically throughout the whole year are going to be able to win more games. So,
Coach, following a bowl game and starting the new semester, and you guys are just getting back into gear. How do you guys set up that off-season program? What are some of the things that go through your mind?
Coach Joseph will come and we'll meet normally during the bowl time to prepare for the winter off-season program. We'll sit down in a room and basically just kind of start from scratch. Sometimes look at what we did last year, but he'll lead the meeting and we'll give feedback, and there might be a debate, argument here and there, and that's good, because by the end of it, he lets us have input on the program. That gives us ownership of, implementing that program. So it's a little bit different every year, because every team's, we're getting better every year. We're taking stuff out that we don't need that. We need more of this. We should do more of this. And I think that's every year our strength program has gotten better and better and better.
Coach, there's an old saying, you can't shoot a cannon out of a canoe. And so you got to have a battleship. You got to have the leg, the base. What are some of the methods and schemes that you use for leg training?
We do a lot of different types of squatting, but we're very careful on how we load them technique-wise. We do a lot of unilateral movements, we'll start with a back lunge, and then we might go to a step up and then go to a walking lunge. We do a Bulgarian split squat, which is a great lower body movement, a great range of motion. We do a lot of front squat, especially with linemen. We've been doing more stuff with, hip glute activation, trying to get guys, use some bands to push their knees out when they're, after they're squatting, to do some of that stuff. But then we get down and dirty in the hip presses a lot too with those guys. So
what about belt squats? And
we use a pit shark. Yeah, we have the pit shark. So some guys that have struggle with squat, with a back squat, loading their spine, or if they have some sort of spinal issue, we'll always get them on the pit shark, and you can get just as many results from that piece as anything else. So
here we are at the University of Tennessee's 34th annual strength and conditioning clinic. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. 34, when you think about it, 34 straight years. They've been, legendary clinic really here,
right?
Down in the SEC. And here you are, one of the featured speakers. That's not a bad gig to have.
No, it's an absolute honor. Great to speak in front of some of these coaches that have been here. I mean, you've got Mike Sershon, who invited me to speak, and then, you've got Rock Gullickson here, who's arguably one of the most honored NFL strength coaches. And, Brad Roll is here, who is a veteran. You got Ted Lambrinides. You've got Joe Madej from Louisville is here, who's coached a Heisman Trophy winner now. And Rusty Witt from Texas Tech, because, these are all guys that I have a lot of respect for. So just to be here is cool for me. And, that just comes from the people that I've learned from. And, it's just such a great deal to come and learn from other coaches, and you just
take
never stop learning.
A little bit from each one, right. You tweak your program.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go, though, and certainly appreciate you joining us for this ASAP podcast, you talked about a little bit about the two swords. Before you go, can you tell us a little bit about the two swords?
Yeah, and this is something that I discuss a lot with our young strength coaches, our interns, just getting them to understand, what they need as a strength coach. And it kind of goes back to Miyamoto Musashi's book of Five Rings, where he talks about two swords in there. And then when I read that, I tried to parallel that to what we do. And our two swords are, as a strength coach, are obviously the science and the factual, the application of that science. People try to deny science, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. That's, as a human race, that's what we have to know, hey, this is logically, if you do this, if A, then B, mm-hmm. So you got to understand the science and apply the science. And then the other sword is the art of coaching. And, to be a great strength coach, you need to have both. And, some coaches just have natural coaching talent, but they don't feel they need the science. And other coaches understand the science well, and they have trouble applying it because they struggle with the artistry of motivation, discipline, and commitment. So, you need to have both. And my point to coaches is be critical of yourself. Be hard on yourself. Don't be afraid to acknowledge your weaknesses, because that's only going to make you better. And if you get better, your athletes are going to get better.
Coach Darryl Bauer, West Virginia Mountaineers. Coach, thanks for joining us on this ASAP podcast today.
Appreciate it, Ed. Thank you.